Good morning. The work I would like to present here today is our language recognition 2009 submission, and we did a lot of work after the evaluations to figure out what happened to our system and to our DevSet, because actually we saw a big difference in the performance on our development data and on the actual evaluations. So first I will try to explain what's new in the language recognition, what happened in the year 2009. There came some new data. Then I will go through a very quick and brief description of our whole system, and then I will try to concentrate on the issues of the calibration and data selection and how we resolve the problems with our original development set. Then I will try to conclude our work. So in 2009, what was new? That the new source of the data came into the language recognition. Actually, these data are broadcasts of the Voice of the America, and we found a big archive of about 43 languages, and the data out of this archive was used, and actually only the detected telephone calls, and which this data brought a big variability to the original CTS data we always used for the training of our language ID system. So it brought some new problems with calibration and channel compensation. So these are the languages which are present. I would have to check if they are still present in the Voice of the America archive. As you can see, the amount of the languages here is very huge, and it brought a very, very nice data set to test our systems on and ability to improve the language recognition systems to actually classify more languages. So for the 2009 NIST LRE, these are the 23 target languages, and the bold ones are the languages where we had only data coming from this Voice of America archive. So there was no CTS data for training on these languages. On the other languages, we also had normal continuous speech data recorded by LDC in the previous times, and also for the 2009 evaluations. So we had to deal with this issue, and do the proper calibration and channel compensation. So what did motivate us after the evaluation to do this work and work again on our development side and to do a lot of experiments was that we saw a huge difference between the performance on our original development set and the eval set, which was crafted by NIST. So all of the numbers you will see here will be the average detection cost as defined by NIST. And on the language recognition workshop, there were a lot of discussions about the crafting of a development set to our systems. So some people created rather small and very clean dev set. We had actually a very, very huge development set containing a lot of data, which brought some computational issues to train the systems. But we decided to go with this development set, the big one. And in the end, it didn't show to be maybe the best decision, but we had to go with that. So a quick presentation of our systems, what we had in the submission. So we had two types of front ends. The first are the acoustic front ends, which are based on the GMM modeling, and the features are MFCC derived. Actually, these are the popular shifted delta capsular features. And for the system, we had there a JFA system. We tried a new feature extraction based on the RDLT, and then we had there a GMM discriminatively trained using the maximum mutual information criterion and using the channel compensated features. Also, we tried the normal GMM with the RDLT features without any channel compensation. We performed the local track length normalization, capsular mean and variance normalizations, and we did the voice activity detection using our Hungarian phoneme recognizer where we mapped all of the speech phonemes to the speech and non-speech to the silence. So for the JFA system, it's a standard-based JFA system, as you can see in SRE, but this time, of course, without any eigenvoices. There is only a channel variability present. So we have some supervector of GMM means per every speech segment, which is then channel-dependent. This channel loading matrix was trained using the EM algorithm, and the 500 sessions per every language were used to train the channel loading matrix. And the language-dependent supervectors, TLs, were map-adapted using the relevance map. These were also trained using the 500 segments per language. Actually, this is the core acoustic system here, because it uses also the RDLT features, and as you will see later on, we decided to drop the RDLT features and use just the JFA system beating the shifted delta capsular features. Yeah, we tried a new discriminative technique to derive our features. This is technique based on the region-dependent linear transforms. This is a technique which was introduced in the speech recognition where it is known as FMPE. The idea is that we have some linear transformations which will take our features, and then we take the linear combinations of the transformation to form a new feature which should be discriminatively trained. So I have a picture, and I will try to at least very briefly describe what is going on. So in the start, we are having some linear transformation. In the beginning, they are initialized to create just the shifted delta capsular features. We have some GMM, which is trained on all or over all of the languages, and which is selected to, which is supposed to select the here the transformations in every step. It actually provides the weights. We are then linearly combining these transformations. So for every 21 frames, we take the 21 frames of MSEC, put it into the GMM, then we take the most winning Gaussian components, which provide us the weights, and we will combine, according to these weights, we will combine these linear transformations. Usually, it happened that only one, two, or three Gaussian components for these 21 frames were not zero, so not all of these transformations were linearly combined. All the other weights were set to zero. So then we are taking the linearly combined transformations and sum it up, and then there is a GMM which will estimate this feature, and according to a training criteria, we will update these linear transforms. And then we go for another 21 frames and train the system. So here, in the end, what we have after the training, this will be the features we will feed to our JFA system. The next acoustic system was a GMM with 248 Gaussian components, which was discriminatively trained using the MMI criterion, and we used the features which were channel compensated. So that was for acoustic subsystems. Then some phonotactic front ends. The core of our phonotactic systems were, of course, our phoneme recognizers. The first one, the English one, is a GMM-based phoneme recognizer, which is based on our on the triphone acoustic models from an LVCSR system with just a phonotactic language model. The two other phoneme recognizers, the Russian and the Hungarian, are neural network-based, where the neural network estimates the posterior probabilities of the phonemes, and then it feeds them to the HMM for the decoding. So these three phoneme recognizers were used to build three binary decision tree language models and one SVM, which was based on the Hungarian phoneme recognizer. Here the 4 grams were used, and the SVM was actually using only the trigram lattice counts as a features. Then we were doing a fusion. We use a NICO multi-class logistic regression, the focal toolkit. So at every system, the thing is, for the first time, we didn't train the three separate backends for the each condition. We tried to do the duration-independent fusion. So every system was outputting some raw scores, and in addition to this, it was outputting also some information about the length of the segment, which for the acoustic system was number of frames, and the phonotactic systems, they provided number of phonemes. Then these raw scores for every systems were going to the Gaussian backend. We had three Gaussian backends per system because we used three kinds of length normalizations. Either we divided the scores by the length, or took a square root, or we didn't do anything. And then we put all of the outputs of the these Gaussian backends into the multi-class logistic regression, which was discriminatively trained, and the output was a calibrated language log likelihood scores. So here's the scheme of the fusion. So again, each system outputs the score, and it's either taken as it is, or it's normalized by the square root or divided, and then the outputs of the Gaussian backends goes also together with the information about the lens to the discriminative multi-class logistic regression. So the actual core of this paper was to go through our development set and decide address where the problem was. Here I would like to thank our friends in Torino, Pietro Laface, who provided us with their development set, so we were able to do this analysis. Actually, in the Torino, they had much smaller development set than we had. It contained about, if I correctly remember, 10,000 segments and 34 languages. Our development set was very huge. It contained data from 57 languages and about 60,000 segments. So we did the experiments. We tried to recreate the Polito training set and the development set, and also we had, of course, our training and development set. And then we did the four types of the experiment. Either we were training our systems, system, and calibrating it on the Polito set, or we trained on the LPT set and then calibrated on our set, or we trained on our set and calibrated on the LPT, or trained on our set and calibrated on our set. So these violet columns are our original scores. This analysis, of course, was done using our our one acoustic subsystem, the JFA system, because it would be very unfeasible to run all of the systems again for the training. So, as you can see, we had some serious issues for some languages. Actually, these were the languages where only the Voice of America data were available. So, the Bosnian language was an issue. You can see a big difference between a Polito and our set. The blue column is just training on our set and using the Polito's development set for calibration. So there must have been some bug or some issue in our development set. So the problems were the Bosnian, Farsi, and also the final score. We were gaining some performance loss. So we tried to focus on these languages and find the issue we had in our development set. So the first issue we found was ridiculous. We had mislabeled one language in our development set. Actually, there was a label for Farsi and Persian, and we treated them as different languages. So we corrected this error, and the problems for the Farsi language mostly disappeared. The next problem we addressed was finding the repeating speakers between training and the development set, because based on the discussions on the language recognition workshop, we already suspected this can be a problem for our training and the development set. So what we did, we trained our speaker ID system from the previous evaluations, which is a GMM-based speaker ID system, and train the models for every train segment inside the language and test again the segment in the development set. What we ended up was this bimodal distribution of the scores. So this part here, these are the high speaker ID scores, and it suggests there are some repeating speakers between the training and the development set. So when we look at these pictures, we decided to threshold the data and to discard everything from our development set what has a higher score than for this Ukrainian language. Of the score is, the threshold is 20. Did this experiment, we discovered that we are discarding, for some languages, we are discarding almost everything from our development set. For example, Bosnian, we ended up with just 14 segments in our development set. And for the other languages where we were doing the speaker identification filtering, we also discarded a lot of the data. For example, Ukrainian, only 12 segments in our development set. So what was the performance change when we did these experiments? Renaming or correcting the label, or already it was easy, did us some improvement. And then the speaker ID filtering, this was quite a huge difference in the performance. So these are the results for our acoustic subsystem, the JFA 2048 Gaussians with the RDLT features. So when we did this, we decided to run the whole fusion on our filtered dataset. Please note that we didn't change the nature or we didn't retrain any of our system we had in the submission for the NIST language recognition evaluation. We just filtered out the scores from our development set and ran the fusion again. And we were gaining some performance improvements, quite substantial. So for the 30-second condition, the C average went from 2.3 to 1.93, which is quite a nice improvement. And if you look at the table for every duration, there is an improvement. I think there is no number which deteriorated. So it worked all over the conditions and over the whole set and for every language and for every duration. What we also saw here was a little deterioration of the results on our development set. Yeah, it could be addressed, it could be, the cause could be that our system retrained actually to the speaker and they were more recognizing the speaker than the language, for some languages of course. So then we decided to work on our acoustic system, the JFA RDLT system, because we wanted to do also another post-eval experiments to improve the final fusion. So what we did, we just discarded the RDLT features and used the plain shifted delta capstra to train the system, and it there was some improvement out of this. Also what we did was to train the JFA using all of the segments per language instead of 500 segments per language, and this brought also some nice improvement. So when we did the final fusion, we discarded the RDLT JFA system, replaced it with the normal JFA system. The MMI system remained in the fusion, and instead of all other binary trees and that one SVM, we put there actually a lot of the SVM systems which are phonotactic based, and they are based on our all of our phoneme recognizers, and Tomáš Mikolov will have a talk on the 2 p.m. and he will explain more about this system. So when we did this, the final fusion went from 1.9, as we saw previously, to 1.57, which is a very competitive result, but of course it's a post-evaluation result. So what is the conclusions of this work? We have to really care about our development data, and rather than creating a huge development set, it is better to pay attention and have a smaller but filtered and cleaned development set. We actually did the experiments with trying even more data to our set, and it didn't help us. The problem of the repeating speakers between the training and the development set was quite large, and we should pay attention when we are doing the next evals so that this will not happen. So thank you for your attention.
Questions? Okay. I have one question. Have you verified that the Loquendo development set and calibration set were created using similar principles as what you later used?
Oh yeah, we looked at the lists, and yeah, we talked with them in the workshop, and they were doing the speaker filtering stuff, but we didn't filter their set according to our training set to even filter the repeating speakers, which could remain there. We just use as it was.
Quick question. Do you know, it sounds like a great idea to remove the same speakers from the development. Do you know whether the same speakers appeared in the evaluation?
We don't know that, and we didn't check it. We just wanted to treat our evaluation set as an evaluation set, and we didn't look at it then.
Right. Given how robust your speaker ID method was, you could probably make a good guess.
Well, what I think that there were not so much speakers repeating in the eval set because, as I understood, NIST was using some previously recorded data, and it is probably much less likely that then there will be the repeating speakers again. For some languages, of course, it can happen for some of them, but we didn't actually check if those speakers are present there.
Okay. One more very short question.
Yes. From your result, it seems that the simplest feature extraction and system work better than the more yes. complex system. Is this correct?
Yeah, it is like that. We were making a lot of effort to try this new RDLT technique, and which didn't work. Also, what was working was the combining of many phonotactic systems, as you did in your submission, and yeah, very easily combining 13 PCA-based SVM systems based on our phoneme recognizers was actually very, very nice. The results are quite competitive. If you look at the number 1.78, just these SVM systems were better than our final submission, even after the filtering of the calibration set.
Okay, can the next speaker please set up? Let's thank the speaker again.